That adequate notice. Now, adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, 65 McCampbell Road, Humdell, New Jersey, the district's website, and sent to four district schools. The mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to the designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB president, and student representatives to the board, filing with the clerk of Humdell Township Police Headquarters and public libraries. Meetings of the board are open to the public and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There are two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be referred by the president to a board committee and or to the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if he, she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. I'm going to ask people to rise for the flag. And after, I'd like to appreciate a moment of silence for the children in the Texas school district shooting. Thank you.
This is for all.
And a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Oh, okay. Can we have the roll call, please?
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
Mrs. Zhang.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Dr. Kalour is absent. Mrs. DeSillo.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And we're going to have some presentations to students and community recognition. Dr. Cascone, would you like to head that?
With pleasure, Madam President. Favorite part of the agenda is the opening when we recognize students. And the first student I'd like to introduce is Anastasia Komlichenko. Anastasia, you are seventh grade student. I'm always super impressed when, as the superintendent of schools, a student emails me, because I just think that shows such great drive and poise and confidence. And even more impressed when the information that's shared with me is super impressive. And also hope inspiring, right? At this time in our world in particular, any place we can look for hope. And when I see a young lady like this, a young scholar like this, who I'm certain moving forward will be sure to be making the world a better place if she isn't already. I said, you know what? How'd you like to come to the board meeting, be recognized, but more importantly, present and speak to the work that you did and the program in which you participated? So Anastasia was nice enough to put together a presentation. So at this time, Anastasia, I invite you forward to the podium. We have your presentation queued up here and ready to go. So the floor is yours.
My name is Anastasia Komlichenko. I am a seventh grader here at SAT. So today I'll be presenting on AI, how computer systems are taught human intelligence. So recently I finished an AI ambassadors program where we outreached to our community to spread the word about AI and shared with peers, program leaders, and organizations possible resources. I listened to talks from college graduates who were studying AI and other fields, and I worked with other international high school students and created blogs and presentations on applications of AI. So on the screen, I have an overview of the 8-week program. And one of the most impactful talks here was by Myrna Goad on AI's impact on creating medicine. So she was discussing antibiotic resistance, how because there haven't been any recent antibiotic discoveries, the bacteria start to resist the antibiotics that enter our bodies, and they aren't as effective against viruses. And she was discussing how AI can scan the microbes to find new ways that they can work against these developing viruses. Recently, they had this past weekend a huge 2-hour AI symposium from entrepreneurs, experts, and other high school students discussing AI. Moving back a little, last summer, I took an AI Pioneers course, which is designed for middle school students to learn about Python, AI ethics, data sets, and machine learning models. So on the screen, I have an overview of the curriculum. I'm going to be discussing natural language processing and healthcare in a second, but we also worked on self-driving cars, which is an ever-evolving field right now. And for our final project, we work on sketch recognition, so how a model can recognize the shapes, the lines a user draws, and predict what their final sketch will be. So the first project I'm discussing that I did with Inspired AI was a heart disease model. So traditionally, heart disease is diagnosed with an X-ray where dye is injected into the body and then scanned, but this is a very costly, time-consuming, complicated method. So with AI, we were able to predict a quicker, simpler way to diagnose this. So on the screen, I have a data set. 0 represents that the patient likely doesn't have heart disease, and 1 represents that they have a chance of having heart disease. And all the factors contribute to heart disease. So with all this data, we had to sort it into numerical data and categorical data. So for blood pressure, it's typically lower for people who are healthier, and it goes up high to the 200 mark for those who likely have heart disease. And similarly with categorical data, those who were healthy found with less exercise pain than those who were unhealthy who had higher exercise pain. And then with all this data interpreted, we had to somehow train our model. So decision trees are a great way to organize your thoughts and formulate outcomes. So here we have exercise pain defined, and the sample is the 303rd patient. That's the value of their factors. And it's classified as no disease or disease. So then it branches out into many different variations and can look like something on the right over there. The other project I completed with Inspired AI was a healthcare chatbot. So this also used decision trees, but they were much simpler, relying on yes or no outcomes. So if the user is thirsty, do they drink water? Do they have a headache? And then on the left is a snippet of the code that I wrote. So defining the headache function, if the user answers yes, then it'll ask about cough. And if they answer yes to cough, it'll print this. If they answer no to cough, it'll print that, and et cetera. Then currently, fast forward back to now, in the Gifted and Talented program, I'm working on a project with AI and cardiology. So my guiding question is, how could we visually represent the important parts of our body in order to provide a perspective on what's inside us and better care for ourselves? So on the screen are 3 of the sketches that I drew and were scanned. I'm currently working on Photoshopping them and inputting them into a designed website to then attach a chatbot to them, because I'm curious to see that those who need medical information and need easy access to it, how they can get it through my website. If they need like certain information on the aortic valve, the mitral valve, the tricuspid valve, whatever, they could type it into the chatbot and it'll give them a blurb of information or direct them towards a clinic. And this overall, why is AI important? As I said, it's the future of our world. And I think that we've discovered a lot so far, but we can go way beyond this as we discover these new technologies. And there's so much knowledge that's out of our reach currently that we can get to with AI. And specifically with AI in healthcare, human health is really important, but we don't know a lot about our bodies as of now. And with virtual nursing assistants, robotic surgeries, chatbots, we can make a better path to human health. So to conclude my presentation, here is some information on Inspired AI. I'm taking the AI in healthcare course this summer to further immerse myself in this field. And then some other links on my blog that I wrote and a presentation that I did on robotic surgery. Thank you.
So Anastasia, the board members may have some questions. I just have one quick question. So you've engaged in all of these scholarly pursuits voluntarily, right? These are just independent on your own volition. They're not part of any school activities.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Any remarks or questions for the board, from the board?
So seventh grade, that's tremendous. I can't even fathom it. What was sort of like your motivation? Like, did you do this all yourself, or was there other kids from other areas, or is there like a whole collaborative type thing, or how did you get the ideas to? Is really cool for seventh grade. It's tremendous.
So it was mostly me, but a teacher introduced this AI program to me, and so I wanted to further discover it. And I was thinking about how, like, in the future, it's really fascinating, like robotic surgery, like even though doctors know so much already with the help of this robot. And I really love cardiology, and it's an amazing field to pursue.
Seventh grade Homedale teacher?
Sixth grade, or like Indian Hill gifted and talented teacher.
Who is that?
Miss Thomas.
Shout out to her. Very cool. Definitely. Thank you.
I think it's phenomenal work. I mean, I deal a lot with high tech, and you're dead on in terms of the areas you're looking at with Python and AI. And if you ever need any introductions to people at IBM or healthcare, let me know.
Any other remarks from the board?
Okay. Just to say, it's so unbelievably impressive that I'm at a loss for words.
Madam President, you'd like to join me for a picture? Anastasia, we'd like to present you with this certificate from the Homedale Township Board of Education. Congratulates Anastasia Komnichenko, this certificate of achievement presented May 25th, 2022. Congratulations. You got it, Dan? Since I'm already up here, I will continue with our recognitions. The next, Mrs. Lamoglia, are you here? Would you come and join me for this presentation? As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to really speak to it as you're more familiar with the program, but I'll just say with a few opening words, the next just amazing young woman who we're recognizing here tonight is Aiden McCarthy. I had I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Aiden several times because she works in close proximity to my office. And so every time I come out of my door, I see her working faithfully with our preschool students. She's an instructional lead with our preschool class. But I had a terrific opportunity last week, and Mrs. Lamoglia will share a little bit more about it, to join Aiden and her STARS classmates for a recognition ceremony. Aiden was the recipient of a state level award. And of course is moving on to Georgian Court College next year. So proud of you. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. I look forward to working with you more. And with that, I'll just turn it over to Mrs. Lamoglia for a little bit more specific information.
Thank you. Okay, we're here to celebrate Aiden McCarthy. She was nominated and recently selected for the Rebecca S. McDonald Award. This award is provided through the New Jersey Transit Coordinators Network. Aiden won this award by demonstrating strengths in overcoming obstacles, motivation, working hard towards her future goals, and achievement in areas of transition from school to adult life. Aiden recently exited our STARS program and is presently employed through the Homedale Public School District in our Enterprise program at Village Elementary School. This fall, she'll be entering a new chapter in her life while she'll be going to Georgian Court and starting a new program. We're so thrilled for you. Your accomplishments are beyond. Congratulations.
So Aiden, Homedale Township Board of Education congratulates Aiden McCarthy with the Certificate of Achievement presented May 25th, 2022. Congratulations. Thank you.
Will you join us for a picture? Thanks, Amanda.
Okay. This next recognition, albeit not appearing on the agenda proper, certainly is worthy of recognition. And this is our student representative. And I'm going to step aside momentarily and really just allow and let the board speak to him as they've had an opportunity to work with him. I've had a short period of time to get to know Haroon, our student representative. This is his last meeting as a student representative. And we appreciate, Mr. Reddy. Actually, I'm going to give some public props to Mr. Reddy for actually recognizing that detail. So thank you, Mr. Reddy, for that. This is an opportunity for us to recognize you. We have a certificate of appreciation for you, Haroon, as well as a card and a small token of the board's appreciation. So if you want to come up now to accept that. Reads. Homedale Township Board of Education congratulates Haroon Shaikh. Certificate of Appreciation, student representative to the Board of Education, Homedale Township Public Schools.
I wish you the best of luck. I will miss you, of course.
I'm going to take a seat momentarily as it, perhaps the board has some remarks for Haroon.
Thanks, Mr. Reddy. I'm back again. So I don't know if anyone saw it, but a couple weeks ago, Haroon was on TV. So Haroon, a little backstory. Haroon, a bunch of years ago, financial literacy wasn't a course that you had to take. It wasn't a mandatory course until your junior year. And Haroon's probably taken so many AP courses. So Haroon has waited to his last semester in high school to take financial literacy. So my younger son, my ninth grader, is in the class with Haroon. It's all ninth graders and 10th graders. And Haroon couldn't be more just the nicest of person, of just so great to these kids. He brings them breakfast, which is really cool because he's the only one that can drive, he told them, which is true. But a couple weeks ago, they had Haroon Day. Haroon didn't know about it, but they were having Haroon Day. And I guess the new financial literacy teacher, not Mr. Cohen, but Lorenzen, whose kids love him, they had a Haroon Day and everyone had to bring in stuff. I had to go get cream cheese and butter the night before. Someone was bringing plates. And so they surprised him. And there was a big picture. I think Mr. Kokoda had seen it. And all the kids had a letter and it said Haroon Day or Happy Haroon Day. And just amazing job of just connecting with these kids. So the recognition he got on News 12 a couple weeks ago, not for Haroon Day, for just being above and beyond a student, just tremendous. So if you want to play it.
Well, he goes the distance on the course and in the classroom. This week's scholar-athlete, Haroon Shaikh of Homedale High School, the captain of the cross-country and track teams. He placed in the top 10 in the Central Cross-Country Sectional Championship last fall. Haroon says one of the most difficult things about track is also what makes it special.
You can, like, measure your own performance, and so you're going against the clock, and I think, pushing yourself beyond your limits and fighting to beat that time is something that makes this like sport so special and something that I really love about it.
Haroon has a 4.62 GPA. He's ranked number 11 in his class. His coach says he's got the ability to lead others to greatness. His philosophy is running a mile in others' shoes.
I push others, and but what I also do is like I acknowledge their feelings as well and make sure that they feel supported and heard in a sports environment.
Haroon's headed to the Georgia Institute of Technology in the fall, where he will study computer science. Very well, he goes the distance on the course.
I would just like to thank Haroon for his dedication and managing to come to all of our meetings, and they were certainly something, and having the fortitude to sit through them all too. Not only you are an exceptional scholar and an exceptional athlete, but you're a kind and exceptional person, and I know you're going to be very successful in whatever you do in your life. So congratulations, Haroon.
And you know, Haroon, his brother was also a student rep a couple of years ago. So you definitely held the bar and kept it raised.
Following in the footsteps.
Are there any other Haroon little brothers? That's it.
Okay.
Congratulations again, Haroon. We will miss you, but we wish you well. Okay. And finally, it's a very special recognition. Sandy, you want to come up with Rooney? You just can't help but smile, right? So Rooney, I met Rooney pretty shortly after I arrived on the job, and you know, it was a busy first day, and Rooney made me feel a lot better. So you know, we just had this idea that wouldn't it be special if we recognized Rooney at a board meeting. I'm going to speak very generally, and then I'd ask, you know, Sandy to come forward and just share a little bit about, you know, what Rooney's been doing with our students. I had an opportunity to meet with Sandy a couple of weeks ago, really just to start to, you know, kind of vision planning for, you know, really expanding upon a therapy dog program in the school. But, I've seen Rooney at work with the kids, and they love him and he loves them, you know, and it's, been a difficult year in a lot of ways. And he's just been a great support and joy to our students and staff. So, Sandy, you want to come forward and talk a little bit about what you and Rooney have been doing?
Thank you. I have to say, Rooney absolutely adores all of the kids here. And I have gotten so much out of this, just to see the happy faces, you know, just to walk the halls, and especially going to today. Today was a very meaningful day to be with Rooney at the school. And, you know, I know a lot of kids, they, you know, stuff it down, but in the wellness room, people talk, they pet the dog. It's a really, first of all, thank you for the wellness room. It's a really nice thing at the high school and at the middle school. And it's been a joy to be here and to see the reactions. I wish everybody could walk around with me and see the students and the smiles and just the idea that there's a dog in the school and I get to pet a dog. And it's really nice. And it's very rewarding for me too. So thank you.
He loves school.
Rooney, we have a certificate for you. It even has little doggy prints on it.
Oh, it's got a doggy print.
So I thank my administrative assistant for that touch. And it's Rooney, Homedale Township Board of Education congratulates Rooney. Certificate of appreciation of being a best friend to students and staff in Homedale Township Public Schools. We present you with this certificate. And Rooney, we also we have a gift of some treats for you.
Oh, my God.
We have some treats, and we also have we have a bee for you, a hornet. Okay. Oh, you like it
that
already. Okay,
best.
So Rooney, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Seriously. we'll take the bee out. Somebody can hold the bee over there.
Okay, then. All right. I guess he likes it.
Rooney, come on this way. All right, sit down, Rooney.
What kind of dog is that? Okay.
Okay, back to Haroon for report of the student representatives to the board.
Good evening. I hope everyone is doing well. Today, the SAB held its first ever field day. All four classes met at Bob Rogge Field to compete against each other in games such as tug of war and wheelbarrow race. Seniors were declared the winner in Homedale's first ever field day. Homedale High School held its first ever Relay for Life. It was a great success and raised over $10,000 in cancer research. It was great to see everyone come together for an amazing cause. The junior prom was held last Friday at the Crystal Ballroom. Over 180 students attended, and we hope everyone had an amazing night. Once again, the class of 2023 would like to thank all the faculty members who helped chaperone this event. In other news, the SATS and Homedale High School Spring Choir Concert took place last Thursday. Various groups took the stage and performed a number of amazing songs. Additionally, the Spring Band Concert will be held tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the Homedale High School Auditorium. Please come out to support the symphonic and jazz bands of both SATS and the high school. The Homedale High School Symphonic Band will also be performing on Memorial Day at the Town Hall to pay tribute to U.S. service members, as well as to honor local veterans. The Senior Prom will be held on June 10th at the Sheridan in Eatontown. And last but not least, I'd like to thank the Board of Education and the Class of 2022 for giving me the opportunity to be your student representative to the Board of Education. It has been a tremendous honor and privilege, and I never knew how meaningful this role would become to me, and I will miss it greatly in college. Thank you.
Thank you, Haroon. And our next is the report of the superintendent, Dr.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a few items on the agenda, which I wanted to call attention to, and some words of welcome in advance of the votes. We are approving a couple of two administrators on tonight's agenda for both Supervisor of Athletics and Physical Education Health, as well as a new assistant principal at the high school. We'll wait until the vote to acknowledge directly, but I had an opportunity to meet both of these individuals personally. I think they're going to make outstanding additions to this administrative team, most notably because they're extremely passionate and excited to come to this district and to be part of what we're going to continue to build moving forward here. So two important hires for our district. The other one I wanted to mention, the other piece that's on the agenda is the approval of a job description for an assistant superintendent for academics and operations. It's sort of a retooled job description that had existed previously in the district. We've sort of modified it to align with sort of my vision for the structure of the senior team. Now, as you're aware, presently we have an assistant superintendent for curriculum instruction interim, but an assistant superintendent for curriculum instruction. We've recently hired a director the assistant superintendent for academics and operations is really going to place a critical focus on our staff and student support systems. What do I mean by that? Well, our hiring, our recruiting, our retention, our mentoring, our teacher evaluation, our professional development, how those are syncing up with our academic programs. This position is also going to have sort of strategic oversight of our school counseling services, our anti-bullying programs, as well as things such as, affirmative action, technology, and a variety of other things. This person is also, whoever that person may be, ultimately is really going to serve as a true number two operational for the superintendent. We're looking to recruit a person that maybe was formerly a superintendent or somebody who aspires to the superintendency and is as interested in talking about academics as they are about HVAC and school security and public relations and all those things, which I enjoy thoroughly, but not everybody does. And so we're really looking to bring a person cut out of that cloth in, and I'm excited to start that search and to really round out our senior administrative team. So I just wanted to call attention to that position. Really, obviously, I think outside of those updates, I would be remiss, and if I didn't speak in some detail with regard to the events which took place yesterday in Texas. And before I do that, I just want to acknowledge two gentlemen in the room tonight from the Homedale Township Police Department. We have School Resource Officer John McGuire. Officer McGuire, we appreciate you being here and everything you're doing. And also joining us is Lieutenant Pigott is here as well. It's symbolic and appropriate that they're here with us today in the boardroom. They were with us all day today, and that's nothing new. In a lot of ways, it looked like any day in Homedale, whether it's our SLEO3s that are in our schools or just patrolmen You know, when, you know, they're in the mornings, they're available. You know, I've run into them a number of times in schools, just being a presence and a reassuring presence at that. So can't thank, you know, Chief Ilocco and our friends in the Homedale Police Department enough. Thank you, gentlemen. In the words of English author Charles Dickens, it was the best of times and the worst of times. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. It was this famous line from A Tale of Two Cities that came to mind when I was writing my superintendent's report for this evening. It was a beautiful day in the district, and it is a time of excitement and celebration for our students as they participate in theatrical performances and concerts, field days, proms, and ultimately graduations. And at the same time, our minds and spirits are shadowed with the terrible and tragic events which happened in Texas yesterday. You know, it's such a calm and peaceful day, and again, I would like to thank our staff and administration, as well as Chief Ilocco and all the officers and detectives from the department for their strong sort of support and strength to our community and for our children and staff. As I referenced in my letter to the community last night, our school district and Board of Education have courageously and insightfully advocated for substantial investments and upgrades to our school district security infrastructure and staff. This has been an ongoing process over the course of the last approximately 10 years. The many resources available to our district to keep it safe and secure are really too many to mention, and obviously it would not be judicious for me to speak specifically to those protocols here in public. However, I can say confidently and in public that Homedale Township Public Schools are some of the most secure that I've seen over the course of my career. Many are asking the question, what more can we do? What do we have to do so that this never happens again? I would suggest that these questions require several qualifications. First, what needs to be done on the national level versus the local level is obviously a very different conversation. However, let's start on the local level. First, in the immediate term, I will be soliciting input from building principals as to their top security priorities for their buildings and ways and things that they can think of that we can do to make their buildings more secure. I'll be bringing this feedback to the board's Building and Grounds Committee later in June, as well as debriefing these suggestions and recommendations with our partners in local law enforcement. I will be convening quarterly school security roundtables with district administration and staff, as well as local and, if possible, even law enforcement representatives from the county. The primary objectives of these meetings will not only be to share the most up-to-date information and resources, but also to engage in tabletop exercises to strategize for more outside-of-the-box and unorthodox crisis situations. And finally, I'll be reaching out to contacts in the New Jersey Department of Education School Security Division to ascertain what additional resources and training can be obtained through that office. However, even as we take additional steps to harden our defenses and tighten and sharpen our training and skills, we must also turn our attention to the culture and climate of our schools. As a community, both school and at large, now more than ever, we must develop a true sense of solidarity and unity around one another. And although there may be larger forces at work that are out of our control, that serve to divide us, serve to undermine our youth, to destabilize them, we members of the Homedale community must do everything in our power, collectively and individually, to be the keepers of our brothers and sisters. As such, next year, our school district will place a deliberate focus on character education, positive behavioral supports, in order that our schools are never a force of alienation to the students who walk through the doors on a daily basis. In my welcome video, I stated, quote, "We stand at a great crossroads in our collective history. Discord, division, and misunderstanding regrettably abound in our society at this time. However, here on the local community level, we have within our hands the power to create an environment, a culture, a phenomenon that counteracts these negative forces in our society, to chart a course that aligns with the values and beliefs of our community. It's time to shine as a beacon of hope and progress," unquote. Those words certainly resonate at a time like this, and it is precisely what I propose we do. It is, of course, to continue to do the things that we already do, be active and engage parents and family members, to participate meaningfully in the affairs of the local school district municipality. But it is something more than that. Now more than ever, we must strengthen the institutions of community, education, and family. These are the most formidable and impenetrable bulwarks against these troubling and terrifying trends we are seeing in our country. It is time to not retreat and isolate within the confines of one's home, but to reestablish bonds of friendship and neighborhood. And most of all, it is a time to be forces of light, to live one's best life, to be one's best self, and to the best of our ability and to all with whom we interact. to engage with kindness with others, and not simply the individual who presents to you with kindness, but perhaps the person who doesn't. There are so many reasons for so many of us to feel alienated, to feel depressed, to feel anxious. One kind gesture, one unsolicited act of kindness can be the difference in someone's life. It is times like this, and understandably, people say, I'm tired of offering thoughts, prayers, and condolences. And I understand that. So as opposed to simply weeping and gnashing of teeth or expressing regret over how things never change, what we can do to honor and to remember not only the lives lost yesterday, is to be our best selves and to lead our best lives. It is the least we can do. Quote, we but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. Mahatma Gandhi. And that is my report, Madam President.
Thank you so much for providing us such a unifying message. Okay, HIB reports.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Madam President, I can affirm for the record that I presented the reports of the new cases brought forth to the administration, have reviewed the investigations and findings, and concur with the findings as presented, and I introduced those reports into the record.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now we're on to committee reports. Let's, how about Mr. Reddy? Are you ready?
Yep. The Curriculum Instruction Committee met on May 16th at 4:30 p.m. Discussed a number of items. I'll hit a bunch of the highlights. On the superintendent's recommendation for approval, tonight will be a list of out-of-district travel for district personnel, out-of-district travel for non-public staff, some approval of student trips. Nice to see trips back up there from graduation walk to project graduation, which I'm being roped into doing, which will be fun. Thank you. Approval of revised curriculum writing and projects for the 2022-23 school year. That's been on for the last couple of months as we keep adding more teachers to for different things that have to be written for the different policies. We received our annual $500 ExxonMobil Education Alliance Math and Science School Grant. I believe we get this every year. So thank you, Exxon. And then we had the first reading of policy 2431, which was we tabled it last month, but the Strauss-Esme had a few modifications. So we had to bring it back for first reading this month. And that's for the athletic competition policy. And one item that came up, a note that came up in our meeting this month and last month, was possibly having sixth graders being allowed to wrestle on the SAT seventh, eighth grade team. So that's continued discussion. Then the last one for approval would be library books to be discarded at Indian Hill. Under social special services, discussed the children that had home hospital instruction. Went over the approval criteria for independent evaluations that we do every year. And that's basically policy 2468 requires that the board determine and approve the maximum allowable cost for an independent evaluation and a list of the evaluators and the allowable cost for each of them. Approval of the SBI SLE for 2022-23, location for the community-based instruction and structured learning experience. Basically what that is a list of community businesses, organizations, facilities that support the district's work-based learning and structured learning experiences for students in our district. Really tremendous list. I mean, I think it was like a page and a half list of different vendors and businesses that support our kids and give them jobs and other things, which is really a nice thing to see. And then the last thing on the special services, we reviewed the special services provider of the different agencies that the district may utilize as a result of a student or district need. Under new business, last month, if you recall, we talked about class average size. Pursuant to a board member's request and the community feedback, information was provided to the community regarding average class size in grades K through 6 and in tested areas of mathematics and English language arts in grades 7 through 12. The committee requested that at the next committee meeting, class size by each section for grades K through 2 be shared. One thing that came out of it, the numbers were not as high as we might have been hearing, which is obviously very good news. For some of us that have been on the board for a bunch of years, a bunch of years ago, we had a district goal of reducing class size in the younger schools to somewhere in the low 20s, which we did. And it sounds like right now that's where we almost are, or we basically are at that average. And when we post the meeting minutes, you'll see on the district website where all the class averages are. What we want to find out is which classes are above the average and why. And we know next year with the budget that we provided a couple of months ago, we're adding two teachers to Village. So that'll only further drive down those numbers of the average class sizes. So thanks to Scott and the administration for helping with that. We discussed school start times. This is also a thing we had discussed probably before the referendum. So that conversation is continuing. Superintendent Cascone updated the committee on an exploratory conference call in which he engaged with the superintendent of the Chatham School District. Chatham is one of the school districts moving forward next year with a delayed start time for the high school. Some high-level takeaways from that conversation were shared. The high school in Chatham will start 40 minutes later. The high school day is shortened by reducing passing time between classes and lunch. The elementary start time is moved back to 9 o'clock, and the instructional day ends at 3:30. One key logistic question that came up and was discussed with regard to how a schedule such as this would be handled was regarding transportation. A follow-up meeting will be scheduled with the district's primary bus contractors to understand the feasibility and any associated costs. So that conversation will continue. If you want to add to it?
Thank you, Board Member Reddy. Just two quick additions. One is the way Chatham is approaching it in terms of the start times, that's an approach, right? So that would not necessarily, if Holmdel were to move in that direction at some point in time, that's not necessarily the way the schedules would play out. That is how they're approaching it. I think the second thing, just to clarify, is that this would not be something that we'd be, you know, launching for next school year. This would be on the docket for 23-24. Yeah.
Thank you. Another item we discussed was the Middlesex County or the Monmouth County vocational schools of the number of Holmdel residents that go on to these schools. There's approximately 100 students in grades 9 through 12 that are attending these schools. So, and this number has been consistent for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Mr. Logren is going to do for the current eighth graders is have an exit survey. So when these children decide to leave, try to find out why they're leaving, what we can do better as a district. Some may always want to go to, whether it's the vocational school or the Catholic school or whatever school it might be, but us understanding better what we can provide more can only help us keep some of these kids. So that conversation will continue. Math grade 4 through 6 update. Dr. Cascone updated the committee on the status of the math pilot in grades 4 through 6. The committee's in the final stages of making a recommendation, which will occur at the next June curriculum meeting. One recommendation remains constant, which is that the district intends to utilize the MyPath of iReady software, regardless of the math program that it's selected. We also received an update on the social studies curriculum, civics and action financial literacy by the humanities supervisor. What else we have? Ms. Werbel provided a high-level overview of the benchmark C Linkit results. The district is in the final stages of administering this end-of-the-year benchmark, and the student reports will be going home to families early June. And the district intends to present a comprehensive district assessment report in the fall utilizing the Linkit MAP, SAT, AP, and New Jersey student learning assessment data. What else we have? We talked about the eighth grade wrestling, middle school participation, the sixth grade summer step up staffing. We continued discussion with that. Ms. Rubel shared the staffing and presented the student enrollment for the summer step up program. Nearly 1,000 students have been invited to one program or another. And presently there are 250 students enrolled. I'm sure those numbers will go up as we, get to the end of the school year here. An additional reminder will be sent out to all parents shortly. And once again, immediately after the Lincoln results are shared with the parents. And then the last thing was AP testing participation for you parents that have students that are, I guess, high school students taking the AP tests. The AP test participation numbers were shared with the committee and demonstrated exponential growth from last year. Increasing the percentage of students taking the AP test was a deliberate focus of the district. And I would say, I think we're successful in that endeavor. Efforts included district subsidizing of the test, so the parents didn't have to pay for the test, which is great. I thank you for that. As well as intensifying and marketing and celebrating student performance. With few exceptions, to the participation rate was in the upper 90 to 100%. When I think last year, we were probably in the 50 or 60%. So huge, huge upswing. You know, obviously we'll see what the grades are when they come back, but at least we got the kids in a seat to take the test and know how we're doing, what we need to fix on that. That was it. Our next meeting is mid-June. We have to determine a time and date based on graduation and some other conflicting meetings. Questions? Mike?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, Mr. Wall had asked the administration to do an exit interview of our seniors. And the one statistic that always stuck in my head was that 76% of the students had indicated that they were active in athletics. And I'm going to repeat a request that I made at that time, as we're talking about the athletic policy, as one of the things from your committee, is how do we seize that 25%? How do we get them involved? Because I believe very strongly that athletics should be an aspect of your education in this district, just as I believe very strongly that art should be an element of your education. And I think the solution is for us to really start thinking about how can we create a robust intramural or club program. And by the way, those sports that fall into a club or intramural program don't have to be traditional sports. I was noticing ESPN was actually running the finals of Ultimate Frisbee. I didn't even know it still existed, but apparently very big on the college circuit. I believe this is something, you know, I throw this over to you, Dr. Cascone. I think this is something that the Curriculum Instruction Committee should be looking at. I believe the administration should be looking at. We really need to make that commitment to create another level of athletic endeavor for those students who may not have the talent or even just the time to participate in, you know, interscholastic athletics. Let's get them involved in the intramural or club area. If you look at high performing preparatory schools, the private schools in this country, they place a high priority on all of their students participating in athletics. You don't have to be a star to benefit from athletics. Getting out there, being part of a team, participating in physical activity, these are all really important skills, the things that we should be encouraging our students. And we're already starting with a great foundation if the research that we did a few years is valid. So I simply, you know, throw that out there. I won't be here to see it become a reality, but I would ask that my successors here on the board adopt this goal. Let's get 100% participation from our students when it comes to athletics. Thank you.
Mike, I was going to say it would be nice to... I have no idea what percentage of students within a high school might participate or might not. I do know adding in fencing and volleyball for the boys, flag football for the girls, like those numbers that must have gone up, obviously, because we add in some of those sports. But I know I remember guys I went to, I was served in the Army with, as you know, West Point cadets, regardless of you had to play a sport or join something as an intramural sport, intramural hockey or varsity hockey or anything. You know, I know HYA still offers basketball. You know, I don't know, a lot of the boys in high school still play that. I don't know how many other sports are offered, but I know, like, just having, I know the weightlifting program we have where the kids, all the teams, anyone can go in there. That could be something for kids that could have a structured, you know, thing where they're part of a community and a team, whatever. But I think it's a good thing to add to a conversation.
Dr. Cascone, would you like to say something on the topic?
Yeah, just I have one statement and then just one question of clarification. So, Board Member Zogel, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I recently read an article. Actually, it's been sitting on my desk waiting to share with Mr. Kokoda, just in terms of best practices in athletic programs. And one of the components of that is actually providing other forms of athletic competition participation for students who want to, right? Because, you know, we have a lot of students that play recreational sports, you know, maybe even club sports on some level. And then when they get to the high school level, becomes extremely competitive, and you know, they may not necessarily be competitive enough to make the team, but they don't want to stop playing, you know, semi-competitive athletics. So I think there's a real value to that. I do think it's important to recognize that, you know, there may be a percentage of students, you know, who may not necessarily be interested in athletic pursuits. They may be interested in pursuing, you know, team concept through other means, you know, whether that be the dramatic, you know, performances or things of that nature. So that would be my only distinction, is that, you know, for any students who had an inclination, maybe intrinsic or after some encouragement to play. But I think also that there are some students for whom their pursuits lie elsewhere. But I think it's a great point. We lose a lot of kids. A lot of kids, you know, cease to have opportunities to play the sports they love because they're just not necessarily competitive enough to make a, you know, a high school level team. And I think that's a real shame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to clarify, of course, I don't think we're going to have rounding up kids and forcing them to play sports. I'm not, you know, advocating that. But what I am advocating is the infrastructure is not in place right now,
right,
for what I would call the casual athlete, the student who does not want to give the time and commitment to the interscholastic realm of sports, but would be open to, you know, ultimate frisbee or flag football or absolutely, whatever sport is of the sport of the day. So that's what I'm really saying. I think we need to make that extra step to create the infrastructure and get kids actively involved. And this is more than gym. This is really pride in a particular sport that you play with other students. And by the way, it could be co-educational sports too. So that's what I'm basically saying, infrastructure.
Okay, thank you. And can I just make one little suggestion? Of course, Mr. Hamry, I'll have you speak, but if there's something that's not on the in the notes or in the minutes and you have an idea or want to contribute, can you leave that to the end of either new or old business so we can keep on the agenda? Mr. Hammer, would you like to say something?
Yes. The agenda here. So I think that's great. You mentioned like we do a survey on eighth grades, why they want to leave Omdel and go to vocational school. And with the new software, yeah, or other school or private school, with the new software, like the trend, the Qualtrics, this one we are going to implement. I think it's great. We are doing more survey from students, you know, to see their feedbacks, like for the senior students who will graduate from high school, see their experiences from K to 12th, and middle school students, their feedbacks to see here what are our students, they're, you know, how they evaluate the teaching, the school, and with the supports, everything, then we probably can improve how we, you know, create a better environment for them so can, you know, they can learn more from our school. I think that's a software enable a lot of things. We can create a customized service for help for the curricular and this study thing.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hammer.
So I had a couple of questions on the report. Did Mr. Logran or any of the people from the SATS give an estimate in terms of how many kids are leaving the school this year?
Bill, do you know? I don't know if we had that information exactly yet. I know it's still rolling in. I don't know if there were exact numbers. I know what we did go over was, we know we have over 100 students currently attending, whether it's biotech, high tech, and all the different vocational schools, along with the RBCs, the Annies, and everything else. It's well over 100 Homedale kids going to those schools. I don't know if we have the current eighth grader numbers that are to the exact number yet.
We don't have final numbers yet, taken into account non-public and parochial schools. So when we have that, we'll be sure to pass that along. We typically don't know that until the close of the school year, when the other schools request student records. So to speculate on those numbers now would be premature.
Okay, and then the other question I had was, on the Linkit, the last set of tests going back to the home, I know there's been tons of questions on that prior to it. Are they going to try to customize those for certain kids that you know are going to have questions that kind of come up based on that, so they can kind of contact the teacher and get any kind of information? So if they need to do anything over the summer, or at least understand what the their growth or lack thereof, or where they should be helping their kids out to grow as we go forward on an individual kid by kid basis.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Hammer. So the just to refer back to the summer step up program. So in any students, present students who are enrolled, and that's K-12, who whether through Linkit performance or MAP or what have you, are demonstrating needs of some additional support, they've been extended invitations to attend the summer step up program, and will continue to receive those invitations. More recently, when these reports come out, kind of contemporaneously when those reports come out. I can tell you, Mr. Hammer, generally speaking, that I've spoken with Dr. Charney about, for this third go around, ensuring that we're just being a little bit more intentional with our messaging around the parent communication, both in the general letter that goes home to parents, but also in any corresponding follow-up that happens with parents. So that will absolutely happen for that third go around. I think we got it slightly better the second time around after the fact. But I think we're looking to hit the bullseye this time with those.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay.
Elizabeth, yeah, I just have one other question.
Sure.
So Pete had mentioned that 1,000 letters went out, right, for kids to be invited to the summer programs. And so far we have 250 people. So following up on the other few hundred, are we making additional, are we sending out additional letters? Are we making additional phone calls? Are we having guidance reach out? Like what are we doing with all those other numbers? Because that's a lot of people who are not enrolled.
Yeah. So everyone on that list has as of now has received two different invitations via email. They will receive an additional one, if they have not already. And then they'll receive another email that goes directly to the parents indicating that. I'm not aware of anything above and beyond that that's happening for all students. I can tell you that through the feedback that's provided through classroom teachers, there are, parents, whether it's through FNP data or MAP data, should have a fairly good idea of where their kids stand. But I would agree with you that I need to understand better if that deliberate connection and outreach is occurring, because I do think it needs to. And the good news, Board Member Bremonti, is we got a couple of weeks to get it right. Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you. Ms. Tsang, would you like to read your report?
Sure. Thank you. The Community Relations Committee met on May 17th, 5:30. We discussed the survey softwares, and Dr. Kaskin informed the committee that the district has issued a purchase order for the Qualtrics survey software, and he engaged in an introductory videos conference with the account representative last week, and is forming a small implementation team in the district. So the more in-depth video conference for training purpose will be scheduled for next week. So Dr. Kaskin's intention is to launch the platform in June in order to gather feedback from the parents, staff, and students with regard to perceived areas of focus for the district. This survey data will help inform the board's goal setting at the June 25th retreat, as well as the administrative retreat scheduled for July 6th. Also, we had the town hall briefing for the health education town hall, which was held last week. The feedback received 2 weeks ago. The feedback received from the participants in the session was positive. They appreciated the opportunities to engage in this conversational publicly and transparently. The approach which has been communicated to the community seems to have been well received by most and has, at least for the time being, quieted down the public dissent. Dr. Kaskin will keep the board updated and projected the timeframe for sharing The revised programming with the community will be early October of next year. We also discussed the conversation about the archive the videos of the board meetings to the appropriate platforms. Currently, the board is doing the poll to determine the right approach for our school district. And we also have a new business item discussed. We are going to launch a new website for our school district. Mr. Matrud from the technology department came and demonstrated the new website, which is currently not live. We received some valued feedbacks from the committee members and are likewise soliciting the feedback from the rest of the board. And we will need it to be launched this website before June 30th, which is when our contract with our current vendors expires. So we discussed the strategic planning for the request for proposal, the RFP. Dr. Kaskan spoke to the committee about the consideration in the next month also to develop an RFP from potential vendors to work with the district on the strategic action plan process for next year. So we also scheduled a AB house walkthrough for next month, June 14th, before the community and the relationship committee meetings at 4:30. So any members from this committee haven't go through this house yet, you're invited there to take a look of the house. Then we will discuss what we're going to do next.
Pardon me, Vice President Chang. I think just to correct that last part, I think you're the only... and me.
We could have together.
Yeah. Right. So sometimes.
No. Are you having to sit there either? Okay. Then we go there. Then.
Yeah. So you and I have to, but Mr. Rogers have to set up a time. So
okay.
But Pete. Oh, you as well? Okay.
All right. We got three members. All right. That's all. And next meeting will be on June 14th, 5:30 at the high school. Any questions?
I have one question, maybe Dr. Kaskan can help answer. Can you elaborate a little bit about the strategic plan RFP?
Sure. So next year, our intention, the board district's intention, is to engage in a full-fledged five-year strategic action plan process, which we would foresee commencing shortly after the start of the school year and be completed by the end of the year. So we would go into 23-24 with a July 1, 2024 with a brand new five-year plan. The RFP is really to solicit proposals for different partners to engage with us in that process. That can guide that process, facilitate it. And there are quite a number out there that do it. New Jersey School Boards is one of them. And there are also some private companies, third parties that do those. So that's really what we'd be looking to. We'd be looking to just prospectively, approve that partner in July, onboard them in August, and begin planning to launch the process in September.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Elizabeth, the only thing I was going to say was on the website, I didn't realize, I remember when Eileen brought it up a few years ago, I guess the website isn't, there first 5, 6, 7, 8 years. It almost requires a refresh every handful of years. And I think one thing, just to mention is, I think the key stakeholders will be reached out to say, hey, what else can we do to make this website solid, from the get-go? So I think that was one thing to, that will still be happening, not just from us at the board, because we're not the ones on it every day. We're not the key users, whether it's the principals, teachers, and key parents out there.
And one of the things I remember is that what you see on the computer is different than what's on your phone, and making sure it's compatible. I remember that. Thank you, Pete.
I just wanted to make sure I got this clear, though. Are we doing like a RFP process to determine who's going to do the website as we've done in the past? It sounded like you've already identified someone.
The website, obviously the selection of the vendor, and it's Blackboard. That was obviously done prior to when I got here, so I can't speak to
The website's done. It's just being refined with some feedback.
So we're using the same vendor we have right now to modify the website?
No, it's a different company, I think.
So that's what I'm saying. Did we do an RFP to...
I don't believe so. But again, Michael, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I'm not aware of an RFP happening for that.
I just, we've done this before with... I mean, I don't think it falls... I think it falls below the threshold, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's, but... In the past, what we've done is we've identified other vendors, so at least we had a chance to view different perspectives on what to do for the website. So,
I do know board member Sogal, I can speak to the fact that there was an internal evaluative process whereby the technology department did review various different products. And ultimately landed on Blackboard. But in terms of that, there being, a board level RFP process, I don't believe that was
the case. I just wanted to make sure that there was some sort of, review of some sort, that it wasn't just, we just picked somebody, that we went through a process of some sort.
So we have some technology, Mr. Gattini. Yes. You can see he's bristling with excitement to come up to the microphone.
Anthony's always excited to go up to the microphone. In my 12 years here, I've never seen him not be excited to go up to the microphone.
Yeah, that would be convenient. Oh, he wasn't kidding.
We did evaluate several different vendors. We needed to make improvements in our ADA compliance and our search capabilities, and that drove our search.
Thank you, Mr. Gattini.
Any other questions? Okay, Mrs. Briamonte, would you like to do your minutes, please? And sure. Notes.
Sure. Budget and Finance met May 19th at 6:30. The first thing we discussed was the multi-purpose turf field. The district will be posting a bid advertisement actually tomorrow for the drainage work associated with the project. We are hoping to break ground in June and with an estimated completion date in August. The district will be utilizing a shared service agreement with the township for the paving project scheduled at the complex. We reviewed bid results for the 22-23 extended school year routes. There were 9 routes, 7 were bid, 2 were renewals, and all the transportation for the summer programs has been secure. The district submitted an application for the American Rescue Plan Homeless Children and Youth that will be run through a consortium. The committee discussed a 2022 safety grant, which will be used for security materials and supplies. And we already covered the donation from Exxon. We reviewed the resolution for the ExxonMobil donation for the high school. Our agenda items are 43 through 46. And our next meeting is June 23rd at 6:30. Any questions?
Mr. Hammer.
So the BGNS committee met on Thursday, May 19th at 5 p.m. I'm not going to cover, but some of the topics were very similar to the BNF. Multi-purpose turf field update was the same. District facilities update, the walking trail behind Indian School. The area is being addressed and expected to be completed by July. The district will be using a shared service agreement with the township to split or for the procedure of the asphalt. For the paving projects scheduled for the complex. And the application, it's already what you just said earlier, sorry. but that one walking trail behind will be done mid-July. Lead testing update, regularly scheduled lead testing has been completed. Some of the areas in the district were identified as being over the 15 particles per billion levels. The school has immediately remediated the situation, either shutting down faucets or putting signage up stating for hand washing only. Additional filtered water stations are being set up for use in the schools. We're addressing any of the issues that we had on the lead testing. And the food services RFP update, the food service consultant, Sean Walsh, gave a report on the RFP. Chartwell's our current vendor, submitted the only proposal. So we'll be continuing to work with them going forward in the upcoming year. You gave the transportation update already and the safety grant update, so I won't go over that again. The only other matter that was brought up was the White House in front of the high school. Most of the board member had a chance to tour the White House, and I think the only there's a few remaining ones, and Dr. Cascone's going to be checking it out. And then once we tour it and look at it, we'll be getting suggestions from the administration and the board to the BG&S team for its proposed use and what we could do going forward. Our next time, our next date and time for the committee is June 23rd at 5 p.m.
Just for clarification, because some people might have some questions, can you go a little bit into the RFP process for Chartwell's, like how many people you asked?
Yeah, sure. So the actual RFP went out to 25 or 27 authorized food vendors for 7 days. There was a pre-proposal meeting where some people came out where they had three vendors that came and only one bid. We think it's mainly due to, you know, people being a little more risk averse and not knowing what the impact of COVID will have, which is why a lot of the vendors we think declined to participate in this bid.
Thank you. I'm sure a lot of parents will appreciate knowing a little bit more detail.
Hey, Joe, on the Indian Hill walking trail, is that back by like behind the fields or is that by like where the basketball court is?
It's the one that connects the road with the fields in the Old Manor section.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know that walkway between the two?
The one when you're walking out the back of the school grounds?
Yes. Like,
okay. Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Thanks.
Mike?
So the personnel committee met on the 18th. And these are the discussion items we had on the agenda. Mr. Logren briefed the committee on efforts to address compensation for roughly a dozen teachers who were unable to benefit from flex time because their schedules were split between the SATs and the high school. That item is on our agenda for this evening. This has actually kind of come up because now we have rotating schedules in both of the schools. And because of this new, I would say, complexity, both principals have agreed to closely monitor the situation going forward so that we can ensure that flex time is evenly applied to all teachers, including those who are between the SATs and the high school. The committee reviewed a number of personnel items that are on tonight's agenda, including recommendations for a new assistant principal at the high school, a new supervisor of athletics, health, and physical education, and a new basketball coach for the girls' high school team. The agenda also includes the transfer of Ms. Vitale to the Indian Hill School, and Ms. Farisi to the Village School. Also, we will be voting on formalizing the 4-day workday during the summer, which has a slight adjustment of the length of time that 4-day period will take effect this year versus the year before. It's 1 week less. And also formalizes it, so hopefully the 4-day week doesn't continue to spread into September and October, et cetera, et cetera. The committee also discussed the job description for the proposed assistant superintendent. This would be our first assistant superintendent in this district since 2016. I think that the discussion was a healthy one and an important one because it gave us an opportunity to really talk about how we see the operational structure of this district and, more importantly, the operational leadership of the district. Obviously, we defer to the superintendent as to how he feels is the best way for us to administer this district, but we felt that there was some very good discussion and dialogue to give him some guidance of things that we felt were important to be included in this position. The committee also held two negotiating sessions with the HTA on May 5th and May 19th. We will be meeting with the union again in June. It's not on the committee notes, but this was information that came this week. We did get some early results from Brown and Brown's study. Brown and Brown is a consultant we use to look into healthcare costs. Not surprisingly, based on what we've been seeing across the state, this district is not saving any money from the current health plan that we were signed into with the state. We will be having discussions with Brown and Brown about the impacts of that, what sort of requirements that the state has as part of their law to ensure that there is savings. It's obviously an issue that's going to be a challenge for our district as other districts when it comes to managing healthcare. The next meeting of the L and NP committee will take place on June 22nd at 5:30. Is there any questions from the board? Mr. Wall has a question.
Thank you. During your meeting, you discussed the health insurance legislation.
Was that that's why it wasn't in my minutes. We got a report just a day or so ago, and I thought it was important to include it in the public discussion.
I'll bring it up under old business. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Sokol. Okay, now we have questions or comments from the public on action items only. Is there any questions? Okay, someone online? Yes, please get them. Hi, Mr. Dowd. Can you state your name and address, please?
Good evening. Sean T. Dowd, 12 Primrose Court. I just want to take a moment from the beginning of the meeting to echo the statements about Haroon. When you work long enough in the district, you're lucky enough to meet not only good students, but siblings as well, sometimes entire families. And for some of us, when you work long enough, even second generations. I've been lucky enough to work with Haroon in some capacity in his 4 years here at the high school. I did have both his older brothers as students at some point, both in the middle and high school. Both high flyers, like their brother, Haroon. Hardworking students like Haroon. More importantly, just really, really good people, which some people at the meeting tonight echoed. All of them aim high. They all hit their targets. And they'll all continue to do great things. And as a couple of people mentioned tonight, Haroon, as you see in his financial literacy class, just inspires, just a nice person to be around. Ironically, as I'm kind of getting my thoughts together for this, I see an email pop up from his older brother, Bilal, who's already out in the working world, and I got a LinkedIn message from him. I just want to thank Haroon for his service, his citizenship, and moreover, just his humanity. And I honestly, personally, want to thank the Sheikh family. We're losing a good family, and we're losing some good people, but I think they'll all go on to do some great things. And we mentioned the vocational schools. I think all three brothers went here. All three brothers thrived and added to the sense of community and athletics and academics at the school. And the vocational school's loss is Homedale's, you know, gain. And I hope we continue to have students like that decide to come to Homedale as opposed to going elsewhere. So congratulations, Haroon. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dowd. Would you like to say something, Haroon?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dowd. Those kind words meant a lot to me. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? All right. Can I have a motion for, if I get this wrong, you guys let me know. Okay, agenda items 1 through 9, 11 through 15, 18 through 21, and 24 through 50.
Move.
Second.
18 through 21 and 24 through 50. Did we get a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion? Roll call?
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang?
Yes.
Mr. Sokol?
Yes to all items except for 41, which I will abstain.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonte?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes.
Mrs. DeSillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Patrizzo.
Madam President, did we do the HIB report? Yes, sir. Oh, we did?
Okay. Yes, we did.
Okay.
Okay. Ms. Zhang, would you like to read agenda item 10?
Acceptance of monetary donations from Homedale Excel Mobile. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude a monetary donation from Homedale Excel Mobile in the amount of $500 on behalf of the XML Educational Alliance. This gift is to be used for the maintenance and support of the math and oral science program at Homedale High School.
We have a motion.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and thank you very much.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Sokol.
Thank you very much, yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Thank you, yes.
Mr. Wohl.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mrs. Tasillo.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Reddy, will you read agenda item 16, please?
16. Yes, ma'am. Acceptance of a retirement art teacher, Homedale High School. Whereas Ms. Alana Lazar has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since January 26, 1987. And whereas Ms. Lazar has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency. And whereas Ms. Lazar has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents. And whereas Ms. Lazar has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective July 1st, 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accept Ms. Lazar's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Lazar's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Lazar its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? I would like to make a comment about Mrs. Lazar, who I think is an amazing person and an amazing teacher, and I'm very happy she's retiring, but it's a great loss to the Homedale School District. And I'll just give one example of what a dedicated person she is, that in March 2020, my daughter was a senior, and as you know, we all had to go home and not touch anything. We couldn't bring anything. And she was taking her pottery class. And Mrs. Lazar wanted the children to still be able to create artwork and pottery at home. And she was trying to make directions of how can the children make it out of dirt and household items? And she was coming up with all these recipes in order to them so they could make their own clay. And that's how dedicated she is. And she's just a wonderful person. And I really wish her the best of retirements. Okay. Roll call.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and congratulations.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you for your services. Congratulations on your retirements.
Mr. Sokol.
Artfully done, Ms. Lazar. Congratulations, yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Thank you for 3.5 decades of service.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes, thank you for all your years of service. Really appreciate it.
Mr. Wohl.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Tasillo.
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mike, can you read number 17, please?
Certainly. Acceptance of retirement secretary, Homedale High School. Whereas Ms. Paula Ms. Paula Rispoli has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since October 18, 1999. And whereas Ms. Rispoli has faithfully executed duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Rispoli has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Rispoli has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective July 1st, 2022, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts her retirement with deep gratitude for her dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to her its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
May I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
If I may, I had the very good fortune to work with Mrs. Rispoli for many years. She was a very valued member of the team, and I certainly wish her all the very best, best wishes, best health and happiness in her retirement.
I'd also like to add, having worked with Paula for pretty much 12 years, one of her best skills and was very helpful for me in those many times when I was on the budget and finance committee and occasionally the chair, is she's really good at finding Michael. It was a skill set that I always appreciated, and she will be missed. I wish her the best in her retirement.
Joe? Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and have a wonderful retirement.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you for your services. Enjoy your retirement.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, and thanks for all the help over the years.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations. You'll be missed.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, enjoy retirement.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Can you, Mrs. Tosillo, could you read agenda item 22, please?
Approval of appointment of assistant principal for the Homedale High School. Resolved that the board approve the appointment of Sean McCauley, assistant principal of the Homedale High School at a salary of $115,000 effective July 1 through June 30th, pending criminal history review.
May I have a motion?
Move.
Move. Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and congratulations and welcome.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, welcome.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes, and good luck.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, welcome.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mrs. Bremonti, will you read agenda item 23, please?
Approval appointment, supervisor of athletics, physical education, and health. Resolved that the board approve the appointment of Michael Casal, supervisor of athletics, physical education, and health at the district at a salary of $115,000 effective July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023, pending criminal history review.
Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, congratulations and welcome.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, welcome.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes, welcome.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. And now we're on to old business. I think Mr. Wall has something.
So a couple quick things. Thank you. One under old business, I'm going to send under a separate cover because it would be a health and safety oriented executives item on various safety initiatives that I put forth to a prior board. So there's some new board members that may not be familiar with them. They're both in terms of hardening the target, the building, and also the transportation side. I'm just sharing that. I'll be sending those to you. And really kudos to the board for in the referendum work and all the great work that was done already. And there's much more that we can do. There was a phrase I heard today, I think it was out of Texas, about you need to harden the target and soften the hearts. This month is Mental Health Awareness Month, which is incredibly poignant. And it speaks to a number of the conversations that are going on about destigmatizing mental health issues and really focusing on all the different areas of importance. So I'm going to send a separate list of specific safety initiatives from prior boards for the new members. These were previous items. And I'm hoping that the board this year will take a fresh look at some initiatives I think matter a lot, and I'll put them back out there. The second item is on, Mr. Sokol had referenced the health insurance legislation. For the folks that were on the board, you're already familiar with my thoughts on this issue. There's legislation that give credit where credit's due. The NJEA was successful in frankly rolling the entire assembly and the entire Senate on health insurance legislation with sunsetting of Chapter 78 and other different items that are too long of a conversation here. But the short story was the Senate president, who fortunately was booted from office, sold the state on significant savings, both for the employee population and also for the taxpayers. That never happened. They were warned by many parties. I sent a letter to every assembly person and every senator. And they all voted for this legislation, which I told them this is a Trojan tax horse. I have a background in that field, and I did the math. I crunched the numbers. I looked at it, and it was an abject failure from a financial standpoint. So I think it was Ridgewood or one of the Ridgefield or one of the towns recently in an article. They were initially, the state was telling them they're going to have, it was about 2 or 3 million of savings. Turns out it's 27,000. So what's the point? This is a financial boondoggle that is going to be devastating on so many levels for so many districts, and it's going to clash with something that is also very important to our employee population, which are contracts. The savings haven't happened. And that's why we're waiting for the study from Brown and Brown to find out the actual fine grain detail. This matters a huge deal to the taxpayers in Holmdel Township. So I'm just bringing it back up. They were warned, they failed. They approved this legislation. And so now the call is to fix the broken legislation that is going to create financial devastation, not just for the boards in Monmouth County, all across the state. And even the school board, the administration, the association that's supposed to represent us, I'll say it publicly, that association is an abject failure. And the faster we pass a law that doesn't mandate by law that we have to pay $25,000 of Holmdel taxpayer money to be members of, the faster we can have a better resolution for the association that represents the board members, the better. And so try to learn a little bit more about that, the folks that aren't familiar with it, that health insurance legislation, because the county averages are absolutely meaningless in contracts. You have to apply today's dollars with the new data that we'll get from Brown and Brown. That's the reason it's old business. I want to put it back out there because what I'm hoping to seek with some thoughtful legislators is fixing that broken piece of legislation that, if you recall when it was going on, was going to be devastating, and they all dove off a cliff. And now they're trying to scrape back up to the top. So keep an eye on that one, Paul. I see you're smiling a little bit. The numbers are blowing up in these districts. It's so unfair. So we need to keep that in mind from a financial standpoint. And just the last quick item, you had mentioned the folks that are going to the different schools instead of coming home to high school. It's also important, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Michael, though I know you know the math, there's a significant financial cost to whether it's the numbers 100 or, you know, whatever that number may be, that directly impacts the Holmdel budget. So it's not just, you know, an option and, you know, well, they have that option, of course, but the dollars are significant in our budget when we can't attract and retain in our own school system, especially with all the wonderful things that have been developed with engineering and STEM and all the different other robotics that would incent folks to stay here. So I'm just pointing out the financial side, and I think that would be good to inform the board moving forward. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the monies are significant, Terrence. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been pushing for quite some time now for us to take a very careful look at our total high school curriculum, including the senior year, to find ways to make it, take it out of the 20th century, put it in the 21st century, have more opportunities for students to take college level classes as seniors, give them better tracks towards career development. We have these programs in place. I don't think we do as good a job promoting them as we should. And I think the battleground, quite frankly, the hearts and minds that we have to win is the residents of this town. The residents of this town have to show a sign of pride that their kids can come to this school and not be at a disadvantage to a child that goes to a vo-tech school. I truly believe that this district provides quality education that is going to prepare your son and daughter to be successful, not just in college, but beyond.
I agree with you. I think it's more like a build the confidence for the students. They choose which school they want to go. I mean, that's why we need the feedback from them, right? So they have to have the confidence in there. They can get the education they need. It's like, we attract them. It's like, okay, come here. We provide you this and that. It's like we needed to listen what they prefer, and it's kind of two-way things. I know it's a financial loss when kids go to vocational school, and they took money from our school district to go with them. So it's an opportunity there we need to work on. And I believe we can, you know, definitely improve that. And with all the softwares and with the new leadership here, we can fix this.
Okay, any other old business? Okay, how about new business? I have one thing in new business. I wanted to ask people's opinion because it's come up as a possibility. Is when we were in exec and several other times that maybe there's a need for a policy committee. And I was wondering what you all think about creating a policy committee to be able to create, write, or review the policies. Or even if you want to think about it and talk to me later, I just wanted to introduce that as an idea. That's okay, we can, you know my number. Exactly. Okay.
You know my name, you know my number. And Beals. Can I make just a quick comment?
Sure.
And, you know, I don't want to blunt the poignancy of the superintendent's comments earlier about the incident in Texas, but I did want to share a personal reflection on it. When I was in fourth grade, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was killed. Thousands of young boys were dying in Vietnam. My mother spent almost every week threatening to move us to Canada, my brothers and I, if the war had continued. U.S. cities were burning. Campuses were in chaos. There was a Cold War. There was violence everywhere. And yet, there never was a day that I was fearful of going to school. What's changed? I don't know what's changed, but I do believe it starts, as our superintendent eloquently put it, it starts at the heart. It starts from us viewing all of us as Texans today, viewing this as not a local isolated incident, but something could affect us all. And if we band together, if we don't allow the horror to overwhelm us, we will prevail. As a board member, the greatest fear that I've always had in my 12 years is that one day I would get that call. That someone would call me to tell me that a student or a teacher, someone in this district had been harmed by a gunman or an assailant. And that fear will always be with me as long as I'm on this board. We have to band together as people. We have to say no. We have to teach our children maybe better. We have to pay attention to those who have mental health issues. There's a whole lot of things. But the main thing that we have to do is we have to be involved. We have to be engaged. I appreciate the presence of our police department today. The police have been terrific allies of ours. We've done incredible things to, as Terrence pointed out, to harden the target. But we can't harden the target so much that we can live in a hermetically sealed bubble. So I say, let us come together. Let us join in the morning, but let's think of the next day and let us come together and solve this problem. Thank you.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I'd like to echo that. Thanks to you guys and thanks to the leadership of the district. I remember sitting, you know, with Joe and a bunch of other board members when we were one of the first districts to get a swatting, and no one knew what swatting meant. And I remember hanging out with Lieutenant or Detective Pig at that point. And, you know, the kids were in first grade at the time, and now they're all eighth, ninth grade. And, you know, my son today, he's like, Dad, is everything going to be okay today? He was literally scared to go to school. You know, because he remembers back, you know, all the guys coming into the class, full battle rattled, M16 out, everything else. And, you know, we didn't know this was real or fake. So I do commend the administration and folks have been here for years keeping the school safe. I mean, obviously we have hundreds of cameras, we have SROs, we have class 3 officers. We've gotten better and improved ourselves. And I try to tell my kids, like, look, it could happen anywhere, but we're going to do whatever we can to stay vigilant and making sure that we do all the right things and keep getting better, because there's other people on the other side trying to figure out how you can get into a school, how you can beat a school. So, you know, Mike, I share your same sentiment. You know, we have what, 3,000 kids, you know, the last thing you ever want to hear is we have 2,999. I mean, that's, to me, there's nothing bigger and greater. So I just want to thank all those that do the hard job of keeping the kids safe and the teachers and everyone else. So thank you.
Elizabeth, I've been thinking a lot about this because I was like, we've done a lot to harden the schools. And I was listening to news today and somebody said, you know, we can only do so much to, we got to do, look at it from both angles, hardening the schools and softening our hearts. And when you look at a lot of the kids that have been involved in these school shootings, they've been isolated. They've been young males that are just feeling alone and somehow they get radicalized into certain things. And I think Dr. Cascon, you kind of made the point earlier to really focus on individually what we can do. You make one motion, you make one thing to reach out to somebody. And it really comes down to a lot of the students actually taking actions because they're the ones that are closest to these other kids and they're the ones that see it. So my question is I think as you were talking about, Terrence, coming up with some type of emotional or some type of review for psychological review and helping our kids with that. I think the wellness room was the first step, but it's a passive step. We need an active step where we actually have kids reaching out to that or take that dog and identifying those kids that really need help that have been isolated, that maybe the students want to reach out to them, but don't know how to do that, or creating a culture where we actually reach out to those kids and you have a welcoming culture. We've been trying to do that and we've been building that, you know, bucket fillers from Village on up, but where it really comes critical is when they come into the high school. And oftentimes we had a culture in high school that it's been evolving. I mean, I wouldn't say there's times when it's been good and there's times when it's been not so good. And I think we need to develop that. When you talk about coming together, let's take some practical steps of how we can actually do that. Can we actually have a person who's in charge of the wellness dog to go out to kids that have been identified as been isolated and or kids that have been bullied or the kids that have been bullying others to engage with them, to interact with them there's got to be some more proactive things that we can tap. And the other thing is, I would say is the challenge is really out to the students. So I think the ones that are closest to it are them. They know who is and who is not. And if we can create that culture here and encourage the students to do that, as well as the teachers and the parents and that kind of stuff, to take an action, to take a step to get it, we've got to figure out ways to do that. So I encourage, you know, what you suggested is really let's come up with some ways to look at both the softening of the hearts and the hardening of the system. We've done a lot around hardening. I think we need to do more around the other aspect of it.
I think what you're saying is quite profound. And I had been talking to Dr. Cascon about these issues of isolation and social emotional health and what we could be doing as a district more proactively rather than just talking. And one of the things he brought up as an idea that maybe we can work on as a goal next year is to be a school, a state school of character, and then ultimately a national school of character, where you follow, you actively work on these very specific issues about kindness and community. And I hope so. It's something maybe we can talk about at the retreat as one of the goals for next year. Kimberly.
So actually last month, I had a conversation with Jessica Irwin, who's our new director of curriculum. And I spoke to her about trauma-informed practices in schools. And it actually goes along perfectly with what we're talking about right now. Right now, there are 50% of children, in particular 55% even between the ages of 12 and 17, have one adverse childhood experience. And those are divided into abuse, neglect, and household dysfunction. And 20% of children have more than one adverse childhood experience. And it's teaching staff and students to look from a trauma-informed lens. So there could be a student that whose behavior has completely changed, and let's try to figure out why. Let's not just start giving them zeros, right? Or there could be, you know, that a student that now for a few weeks is just coming in late, but, you know, maybe we don't know that that person is driving their sister to school before they can get there. It's just coming from a different, it's looking at things at a different lens rather than black or white. And that includes not only our students, but looking at staff and our colleagues, because, you know, we don't know who might be going through a divorce and they don't want to talk about it. Or so it's something that there's training involved. And I think that we should look into that. It's something that I've now been trained, you know, in, and it's very powerful. It's very powerful. And I think it's something that Homedale should do. So it's trauma-informed practices. So
that's good. That's great. Is this a statistics based on Homedale school district or national?
It's national.
National. Okay.
It's national. And it's when you see some of the numbers, it's quite scary to see how, you know, because the things in there like household dysfunction or divorce, alcoholism, things like that, which, you know, probably if you took a poll in the room, at least probably everyone has had at least one adverse, and that's okay. One is okay, you know, but it's that more than if that two, it's that three. So.
I'm just going to mention something. I remember a couple of years ago, and Haroon, you might be able to say if we still do it. Does the school still do the peer leaders? Like, I remember like 11th graders would be paired up with 7th graders and 8th graders. I mean, I think that's like an active step. And one, you know, obviously a lot of kids sort of blow it off, you might say, but you know what? Hey, if you could connect with a few different kids, and I don't want to say save them, but make them feel empowered and, you know, wanted and belonging, it's a, do you know how they do it or how does that work?
Yeah, so that program is still running. I believe it's run by Mr. DeNovellis and Mrs. Halplin. And I'm not, the structure may have changed. I was involved in it my sophomore year, but I was not involved in it junior or senior year. But I'm sure I'm almost positive that they're still heavily involved and have like this, a similar structure with how, you know, you have juniors and seniors like guiding 8th graders and 7th graders.
Yeah, because I know it's probably sort of stopped during COVID, but I think, Matt, that's probably a good, you know, a good thing to revisit or possibly look at, especially for the younger students who are so, you could say, at risk, you know, catch them before they go down the wrong path or, you know, make them feel wanted or part of a team and part of the group.
Dr. Cascone, do you think it's fair if we set kind of like a date in the future where, you know, you have some time to really reflect on proactive things that we can do as a district to, you know, address the softening of the heart and coming back to the board with some ideas. I suspect you'd want to have that assistant superintendent on board at the time, but I think that, you know, I hope I'm hearing correctly from my fellow board members is, you know, we do a lot of talking. We came together to do physical improvements. Now it's time to be thinking of the improvements we can do with the environment of our schools. I know we've been talking about for years anyways, but we have at least a target here. And we have a new administration. This might be a good time to, you know, maybe a few months down the road.
Mike, I actually said that I discussed with Dr. Cascone, and one of the goals we're going to discuss in the retreat for next year is this very topic. And one of the steps in which we can have concrete steps that we can take is by working towards being a state school of character.
No, I got
so
that.
That is like literally how we can, you know.
No, I agree with you. I just wanted to know. I'm not questioning that. I was just questioning timing, you know,
well,
something we can
talk about. We're doing it to start for next, you know, it's in motion. That's all. All right, Dr. Cascone, would you like to answer that?
Sure. I think we're about to embark on an exciting phase for the district where, you know, since I arrived, it's been listening, learning, gathering information. It's been, as we talked about, operational continuity. And starting really, I would argue, with the board retreat on July 25th, we really embark in a fresh new cycle of planning, right? Starting on the highest level with board aspirations and goals, you know, working down to the administration, gathering feedback from the community that can help inform our goals. We will certainly be prepared, you know, by the end of the summer to be able to present to the board some of our plans, particularly on the professional development side. I would say that this is a massive piece here, right? When we talk about we're talking about massive multi-level systems change to public schools, right? Because the reality of it is that while we've gotten pretty good at focusing on pedagogy and academics, you know, we really don't have, you know, cogent systems of staff and student supports when it comes to mental health. I mean, we have guidance counselors. In most schools, the caseloads of those guidance counselors, even if they're at the recommended national average, are 250 kids per counselor. And so there's certainly, in addition to some planning and some initiatives, there's definitely some investments, I would argue, that we need to think about making moving forward into some additional personnel. But absolutely, Board Member Sokol, we'll be in a position to update the community late August, September, when we kick off our goals. But I can tell you, there's no question this has to be a focus of our, a central focus of our efforts next year.
Okay, thanks. That's what I'm basically looking for. And
Dr. Cascone, if you consider that your superintendent's report was very poignant, and I think it captured the thought process of many of the board members. So if you consider distributing that to the public, I think it'd be wonderful. And just as one board member, Mike Sokol, your comments and inputs are always deeply appreciated. So thank you, as always.
Mr. Wall, may I add one other thing? And just to piggyback, digital citizenship, right? I think that's a huge piece to this. Because I do think that the digital environment has such a really impacts our kids in some ways in which we know, in some ways that we don't. But I think that that's a huge piece to this. The parent education side of that, right? To really be having conversations with parents before they buy the smartphone, so that maybe there's a point in time where they're provided information where they can give pause before that happens. Because once we put that thing in kids' hands, their world changes, like it or not, right? So I think, planning with the administrative team, but I think these conversations and these plannings around mental health and around social emotional well-being of children have to be really inclusive. I think they have to include kids. I think they have to include parents and guardians. And I think they have to include, obviously, experts that we can call upon as well. So thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like currently, those kids, they are facing the challenges we never had when we grew up. We don't have a smartphone. We don't go to social media. Go there. It's like you share something, the whole world can see what you are doing there. It's a lot of like excitement at the same time. A lot of like, it's... Yeah, dangerous for younger kids. They don't even know what they're doing at that time, but they have a big impact on their emotionally and also later on, on their life. So peer pressure, not only in the classroom anymore, not only in your local school, it's sharing with everyone access to there. So we need to be really careful about the kids, being empathetic to them. Also, they don't have to talk to you, but they talk to the kids, to talk to the strangers. It's all there. So it's we are facing the challenges to how to educate as parents. We have a new challenges too here as school too, right?
I'm glad to hear that you mentioned in the list of people the students and that kind of stuff, because I think they're going to be probably the ones that will come up with a lot of great ideas. And I challenge you to kind of try to get that before these seniors and leave the school system as well, because I think it'd be good to get your guys' input as quickly as I could. I mean, to your point, Linda, these kids get these phones and they, we never had the experience of like trying to teach kids how to drive. We never drove a car, so it's hard. So I think getting a lot of the information from the students themselves in terms of how to contact those kids that are isolated to prevent it in a proactive way would be really helpful to us as a board.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Don't forget June 15th.
I'm sorry?
Don't forget June 15th.
Oh,
I want to make the announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting.
We're having a special awards meeting on June 15th. Is it going to be in the high school?
Yes, ma'am.
And at what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. We just made that for students' achievement awards. Oh, thanks, Pete, for that reminder. Okay, now we have questions or comments from the public. Please state your name and address.
Yeah, my name is Ed Liu. I'm 9 Seminole Drive. I'm also a physician. I spoke last year in October and November. I'm the chief of infectious diseases at Jersey Shore Medical Center and chair of the infectious infection control committee. So I've been dealing with COVID for a long time. And of course, right now with this meeting, we have other things we're concerned about as well as COVID. But in the last couple of weeks, I was concerned with a COVID increase. So when I spoke in October and November, I was certainly worried about the winter season. It turned out the winter season was quite terrible. Omicron came in and we had very high numbers in the community. Now, fortunately, I think the school system handled it pretty well. I think you had some basic protective mechanisms to keep the school functioning. And I think that's really important because the numbers are going up again. So I think the latest numbers were that the state has increased 3 times more than 1 month ago. So, you know, certain school districts have had to change and reverse their policies. And I think I would recommend everyone to be very flexible dealing with what's actually out there. So, you know, that when there's high COVID activity in the community, it does affect the school system as well. And this difference now is that we don't have some of the mechanisms we did last year. I mean, last year, mandatory masking was present. We had more contact tracing. We had certain things that helped us deal with the surge. And I just want to make sure that we still have some of those tools to keep the numbers from affecting our students. So when you're dealing with a serious contagious respiratory infection, you really need every tool at your disposal. So that means you have to have high vaccination rates in the population, contact tracing, quarantining if necessary, and also masking. So, and I really support that because these are tools that are necessary to keep the school functioning, which is actually the purpose of the entire board and everyone here. So contact tracing, we use in a hospital all the time. We use PCR testing, antigen testing that we use maybe in a school may not be quite as good. It's rapid, it does give you information, but sometimes it actually misses COVID cases. And remember, COVID can spread 1 or 2 days before actually the symptoms start. So it's really hard to stop it once it gets going. In my experience in a hospital is I've seen entire units sort of lose half their staff, even though almost 100% of the staff are vaccinated in the hospital. It's mandated. Almost 100%, it's mandatory masking. So you have a very knowledgeable population and still can get COVID. And I'm really concerned with the numbers that this could affect the student population as well. So I just want to keep everyone aware of that and that you use every tool at your disposal. So, you know, remember the school, the kids tend not to get very ill, except that they can bring it home and to the parents and grandparents, and that the family members certainly could be ill, even if they were vaccinated in the past. We're starting to see some breakthroughs because people haven't gotten boosted, and actually their immunity has waned. So actually they're getting more serious disease than they expected. So I've seen that in the community over and over again in the last month or two. I realize that everyone has COVID fatigue, mask fatigue. That's part of everything. We see it everywhere, okay? But I think we still have to make decisions based on what we're seeing outside using the data out there. And when the numbers go up, you have to change your policies a bit to use every tool at your disposal. I think that's the most important thing. We were talking about protecting our students in different ways against violence this today, but I think we have to protect them against other things, including viruses. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Bill Lochran, Principal William R. Satt School. I also wanted to echo what everybody else has said about the retirements of Ms. Raspoli and Ms. Lazar. Ms. Raspoli was very helpful to me in my early years as an administrator, navigating the business office and preparation of budgets and policies and procedures. I wish her well in her retirement. I also want to thank personally the professional and personal relationship that I've had with Ms. Lazar for over 30 years. She worked in all of our schools before settling at Homedale High School. Over the years, beyond just being an art teacher, she served as the National Art Honor Society advisor. And as you go around the school and you see all the terrific murals that are everywhere, She had a large hand in helping to design with students and put them in, so her legacy will last long after she's here. She also served for many years in cooperation with the local Gowanus Club as our key club advisor and did tremendous charity work and service work in the community with our students. And especially important this time of the year, Ms. Lazar served many times as a class advisor. And as a class advisor, the culminating experience is a senior prom. And I know that we're looking forward to senior prom, which for many is a culminating experience in their high school careers. And I can tell you that each and every time Ms. Lazar was the senior class advisor, that was a prom to remember. She went above and beyond at all times, both in and out of the classroom. And I consider her, as she retires after 35 years, among the pantheon of Holmdel employees who truly, truly, truly bled Holmdel blue. I wish her a happy and healthy retirement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Laugren. And anyone else?
Barbara Singer, 5 Deerfield Road. I just wanted to go back to both of your comments on being proactive in identifying students. I know at the high school a few years ago, and I'm not sure if it shared with SATS, we hired an in-house counselor, so kids who would normally be referred for counseling that their parents would bring them to outside of the schools privately could now be done in-house. I'm not sure how within that setup we're referring students for that. So if somebody could let me know about that.
I think Dr. Cascone could answer that.
Ms. Singer, did you want me to answer that question in real time? Did you have or that was your?
No, you can answer it and then I'll
you'll continue. It. Okay. Right. So this is a program that I believe the school started last year, mm-hmm. Which was through Rutgers mm-hmm. University Behavioral Health Center. We have, is it one and a half clinicians that are, Ms. Lamoglia, as opposed to me sort of, botching through this. And I think I could do a pretty good job, but you could probably do a better job than I. So do you want to talk a little bit about the Rutgers University? Come on up. Why don't you come up to the.
One is housed here at both SATS and at the high school. And then we have a part-time clinician that is housed at Indian Hill and over at Village Elementary School. The students are referred based on needs by the guidance counselor, whoever sees them. And it is a clinical support that's outside of what we can provide school-based.
And sometimes those referrals come from parents. Sometimes they're self-reported by students. So the referrals can come in over a variety of different means.
Yeah. And there are a significant number of students that they do see, but the contact and the communication happens directly with the parents as well as the school. So we are always working in tandem.
Ms. Lamoglia, yes. I appreciate you pinch hitting for me.
Of course.
Also, I want to address the peer leadership program at the high school that Pete, you were asking about, and Haroon. My senior actually has been part of that. It's an extremely active program. It actually became a class at the high school. I don't know if it was this marking period or the last one, So it's actually a class in the marking period, class at the high school right now. So there are very practical things going on. And I think maybe before your retreat, I was thinking if the principals could maybe let you know exactly what they have in the schools already, because there are things going on that you can discuss at your retreat and see where you want to augment some items.
Do you know if that peer leader class, obviously you're a high school 9 through 12, but does it also, filter down to the 7th, 8th grade? Because that's obviously, they're almost more at risk because their brain development, everything else, the maturity and everything else, those are the kids you really need to grab now. And I thought it used to be like 10th graders used to be matched up with like 7th graders and 9th, and it gave those older kids some responsibility because they're like, hey, I got to take care. This is my guy or this is my girl. This is the person I'm, in charge of it or going to try to help them look out for, almost like a big brother, big sister. Is that still with that? Or because it's a class now, is it just 9 through 12? And is there a way we could sort of somehow help the 7th, 8th graders as well down the road or something?
Yes, sir, Mr. Reddy. Everything that you're describing is in play right now. We've utilized the physical education periods to make the connections in which you're describing. And we even decided to take it a step further through the good graces of Mrs. Vitale, Mr. Howard, and Ms. Farise. We've expanded to the elementary schools as well. So we're making connections with our peer leadership club, as well as our class with all the students within the district. So just by going and reading a book to them, establishing that partnership, and we're hoping to continue to grow with that.
And for my part, Mr. Reddy, the program you're speaking of, we did do comprehensively, but we did it as whole classes, and the numbers became sometimes distracted from the purpose of the program. So it morphed into what you know today. However, there is the opportunity, as Mr. Kokoda and I articulate, to maybe scale it down so that we can target some more at-risk students who could really benefit from the one-to-one relationships, particularly as they make their way 7 through 12. And I should also add, in our meeting notes from the curriculum committee, we did speak about some new courses. And one of them is in a study skills course, ACES, that we, since that meeting, we've talked, and we're going to be making that available to all seventh graders, but it will also embed a character education curriculum as well. So that'll be part of the overall things that we're talking about, Dr. Cascone, on balance, but for a small part, we're at least trying to start to address that as our students make their way from sixth to seventh grade.
Thank you. Let's have Mrs. Singer come back.
I figured it's better to hear it from the experts than from me, but I do agree with you. We need to do these things in the younger grades. Waiting till high school is not the best. And then Haroon, of course, you've had so many accolades tonight, but it did remind me about your family history here. We've talked in the past before you were here, Dr. Cascone, we need an alumni group. We need an active alumni association. We have amazing graduates out in the world. We have no alumni connection, really. For everyone. And I think that would be helpful. I was also thinking about it when you're talking about doing surveys on different things in the district. Survey our alumni, like as they become adults and they look back, they'll have good feedback for us as well. Thank you.
I think that also dovetails into, you know, we've had discussions the last couple of years and we say, well, wait till after the referendum is done, which was a good idea, is like a Hall of Fame. And I know we've talked about it for a while, and obviously it's a big, heavy lift. And obviously you have a lot of alumni in this room that have been around a long time. And whether,
you know what,
like,
Pete, it's public comment time. Let the public get their chance to speak?
This is sort of on top of it.
Can you
absolutely
please come up, sir?
Thank you. I'm Doug Kahn, 8 Fairmount Road. I've been a resident of Holmdale for almost 30 years, 29 and a half years, I guess. And I'm lucky enough, my daughter has moved into the town. I have a grandson. He's 2, but he will be going through the school system. And you folks do a great job. I'm not here to complain. I have some ideas I'd like to share with you for your consideration. I really think you guys do a wonderful job. So, and I appreciate Mr. Wall's comment about the mental health aspect of things. In addition to the character building and the online activity, which is, I think, is a huge aspect of it, there's a cognitive effect that is a big part of it that maybe not as looked at intensely as you might think. There are illnesses, Bartonella, babesiosis, ehrlichiosis, that get into the brain and very much goes undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, or should I say underdiagnosed. So it really takes a very good psychiatrist that's going to have to evaluate that individual. And these individuals have tells. I've got probably gotten about 10, 15 emails in the past few hours, 12, 24 hours, just talking about this, that these physicians are thinking that this is a cognitive issue. And that's why that happened down there in South. So it may be something that the school system wants to partner with a psychiatrist of some type that specializes in microbial, vector-borne illnesses like ehrlichiosis, Bartonella. Basically, you know, you hear Lyme disease, and that these co-infections go along with it. And it's endemic. On my street, we have 16 houses on the street, 8 people. 8 houses had Lyme disease and co-infections in it. So anyway. that's not why I'm here. I really wanted to thank you. I'm here for, other than to thank you, I'm here for really two reasons. I'm not a medical professional. I interact with a lot, but that's for what I do in relation to this microbial or vector-borne illness, I'll call it, you know. And so I just want you to consider my thoughts. The first is with Lyme disease, it's a huge illness. It's probably a pandemic. It's underreported. There are at least 300,000 cases in the country, at least. So these things go underdiagnosed. There are many children that have it, and you end up having behavioral problems in the school system. If you can catch that early, it can be usually treated very well. When it becomes a chronic illness, it's very difficult to eradicate, very, very difficult. So back in 2015, I founded an organization called, it's really a support group, New Jersey Lyme and Associated Disease Support Group. I didn't expect it to go as big as it has. There are 1,725 or 30 members in that now. We don't charge anybody anything. A lot of these people are paying a lot of money just for medical bills. So, and I did have a small grant 1 year back in 2015 from the National Lyme Association. So our whole purpose is to provide education and support and encouragement. Let people know that there's hope. So I'm hoping you'll consider, I've organized seminars or presentations, I should say, to the public, where physicians come in, other medical professionals, Congress members have come in and spoken, and to raise awareness in the community. If you can find awareness and then get treated early, chances are that child will be well in the future. Otherwise, they may deal with something for a long, long time. And it's really near and dear to my heart, because when my daughter got ill, she probably got bit. We went to like 50 different physicians before we finally got a proper diagnosis. I took her around the country. Finally, a doctor said, this is what she has, got me on the right track. But she has some other things now she has to deal with, because the immune system gets so compromised. And then things come out of their Pandora's box. So I hate to see other kids have to go through that. So if we could somehow, if I could coordinate, talk to someone here, coordinate a seminar, if this, you could provide maybe an auditorium, and it would take me months to put this together, where I'd have to get physicians, I would try to get congressmen, usually it's Congressman Chris Smith, and they would come and speak. And they would share their story. Because everything I say is anecdotal. I don't have the education that they have. I have my own experience. So if you would consider that, that would be wonderful. The second thing I'd like to talk about is something that it scares me. and it's very politicized, I guess. So I don't want to get into a point for point counterpoint thing, but it has to do with COVID. In my career, what I did was I dealt with determining what the financial consequences of an exposure were and how that would be addressed for commercial businesses in the United States. And my team handled things, the mundane. They also handled some more complex things, like what if we had a terrorist attack? Or what if we had a cyber attack in the country? What would happen when COVID happened? How would that be addressed? What would the finance? How would the, from a financial standpoint, not a medical standpoint, what would happen? So other teams within the organization would do various things. One would do models. One would, every day I'd go in and I'd have a news report, what's happening. The models that they came up with all seemed to have some come true. What I didn't expect, what the models did not show, was that we have this peak that we have going on now. We expected it to come in the fall and the winter, but not now. The only thing I can correlate this to, and this is just my own conservative view is that many people, if you walk around, many people are walking around with no mask, if you go to ShopRite or whatever. And we gather more. So that helps the spread. It might be beneficial. I'm not advocating to put on a mask. I wear it when I go to the store, but I'm not advocating that for everybody. But I would ask that perhaps you consider monitoring these levels. And if it gets to a certain point, ask yourselves, would it be beneficial to have the kids wear a mask? So you protect the teachers, the administrators, and the kids. People are going to say, no way, you don't have to do it. Others are going to say, yes, you should do it. Just give it a thought and see if that would be beneficial. As the numbers drop, they say, okay, do away from the mask. It's kind of, I view it as like, you cross the street, you look both ways, you just use your due diligence, your precaution. And that's how I view it. I think with vaccines and certain protections, we can all do well. We're probably going to be living with COVID for a long time, but we can minimize perhaps the exposure just a little bit. So that's really all I wanted to really come and say. I'm retired. I didn't really mean to come in and talk to the board here. I moved here because of the school system. I convinced my daughter to move here because of the school system. And I know my grandson's going to have a wonderful education, and it's in large part for everything you guys do and you consider and the hard choices you make. So I just want to thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you want to?
Hello, good evening. My name is Mindy Kim Liu. I live at 9 Seminole Drive, Homedale, New Jersey. I was here last fall of 2021, because of the COVID number was so high. And I was here advocating for mask and maximum safeguards. You probably remember. Things have changed, the culture has changed. I'm not here to ask for mask or for maximum safeguards, but what I am here is to ask for, when there are spikes, when there are moments of elevated number of COVID infection, I'm asking, the board, the superintendent, the staff to bring in safety measures to mitigate risk. January 2022, this year, we received an email notice that two things would be taken away. One is contact tracing that would be eliminated in all the school districts, and that the second one would also be eliminated, which is the mandatory reporting. So if you have COVID, you or your family have COVID, then you do not have to report to the schools, right? That is my understanding of what took place. But we never talked about what would happen if there was a COVID outbreak. And we're faced with that, right? There's 22 at the village. That's high. We received email that in one classroom, there's at least one case where two students have COVID in the same room. So I'm here to ask if certain measures can be, you can bring back measures to protect the kids as much as possible. And we're not saying it's here permanently, but periodically when there are outbreaks, if you can bring in masks, if we can separate the kids, there's no reason why they need to be on top of each other when there are outbreaks, just separate the tables. We can all agree that we can require the teachers to open the windows to adequately ventilate. We can ask the teachers to hand out sanitizing wipes so they can wipe the surfaces daily. These are measures that we can do, we can all agree on. There are so many important things that this board and the Homedale School, and I agree. Personally, my background is I'm an attorney. I lived and I have a license in New Jersey and New York. I moved here because my spouse was in New Jersey, I had a kid. I'm working as a substitute teacher currently because it's flexible and it matches with the time, the school time. And what I've seen is that the Homedale School is much superior because of the huge resources that we have. It's very visible. The level of parental involvement, the resources we have is just excellent. Lost my train of thought. Going back to COVID, we have the resources that other school districts might not. Like we have the UV lights, we have we have the nurses, we have the, we can bring back masks periodically as the COVID number is elevated. I think that's important because otherwise we might risk school closure or closing that classroom, which none of us wants, right? It's gonna disrupt our lives and it's gonna disrupt the kids' learning. So that's one thing. I just wanted to encourage and support any safeguards measures that are reinstated to curb COVID when there are spikes. We know that COVID is here, unfortunately, and this is something that we should deal with and agree on, compromise, and deal with it so that we can move on to other important issues, such as providing solid quality education. When I first moved here, I heard that parents wanted the school system to provide solid basic education. That means things like teacher-student ratio, right? In my kid's classroom in kindergarten, there are 24 kids in one classroom with one aide who comes temporarily, a few times a week, a few times a week, and she's shared among various teachers. We know that one of the key things to providing quality education is to keep the ratio of students down from the teachers, right? And that is something that we ask the schools to be privy of and to maintain low student teacher ratio. And last year, there was a presentation given of remedial education. I think something like 40%, 50% of all junior high school and high school children were recommended to receive remedial education. I don't know what came of that. It would be good to have a follow-up for the parents of how many kids enrolled and if their scores increased or not. I don't know if we can measure that at this point. I do want to say that based on my observation and participation in the village, we do have excellent principals. They're highly motivated. They're caring. I think that all we need to do is to get their inputs in the areas that need improvement and support and provide them with those resources. And just to mention about the Texas event that just happened. As a substitute teacher, I have the ability to see many different schools in Matawan, Middletown South, Middletown North, Woodbridge, et cetera. One thing that stood out is that as you walk around the cafeteria, you walk around the during recess, you can see students who are by themselves, who are isolated or who don't fit in and who isolate themselves. I think that we could a principal cannot be everything or know everywhere, but if we can ask teachers if they could, keep an eye out on certain students and approach them at a later time and ask that I have, that child could be new to the school system. That child could, just feel different. For example, one child told me that in the Middletown South system, she said that the kids here have too much money. I come from a family that does not have so much money. And that made me think that in Homedale, there's going to be, the low housing has been approved by the township committee. And in the near future, we're going to have an influx of low-income housing students who are going to attend schools in one of the wealthiest districts in New Jersey. So that is something we can foresee, that some of those kids might have adjustment issues, adjustment problems. Maybe we need to get another counselor, I'm not sure, but that is something we can foresee now. So it's not right. So class is one thing. In Homedale, as reflected in the rest of the world, there are a variety of religions, ethnicities, race, class. And I think the word inclusion,
can I ask you to
yes.
finish up?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
So I think that if we can, and things like bullying, I do have to say one thing though, like bullying, a lot of the times they are celebrated in schools and they would say, oh, this is the month of bullying. But rarely have I ever seen in the 1.5 years that I've been acting as a substitute teacher, have I rarely seen actual implementation of what that even means, or any training or any classroom interactions. It would be posted, it would be said, but there will be no class, no training. There is no definition of what that means. And the same thing with things like multiculturalism. Nobody even knows what that means. That needs to be not just posted on a wall, but actually go much deeper and explained. And things like, we need to go to the basics and just define what they are and provide training. And as we walk around, I can see the children who are isolated or who isolate themselves. And those kids should be reached out and talked to. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'd like Dr. Cascone to qualify the COVID numbers. I'm hearing 22. I'm not quite sure if that's accurate. I'd like to make sure that the public is crystal clear on what our COVID numbers are, because I don't think that number was accurate that was represented tonight.
I think that was last week, so we just got new numbers today that were much improved.
Right. Can we have the current numbers, please?
Student cases, we had 10 district-wide, one at the high school, two at SATS, two at Indian Hill, five at the Village.
Thank you. I just wanted the parents to feel very comfortable when they watch this meeting tonight.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Move. Second.
Show of hands. Meeting.